sporty greetings and happy Friday to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Of course, I feel happy. It's a great moment in my career. I'm glad this is something that I looking forward every year, every season. So I'm glad that last year we did amazing season. We win the Champions League, we win the La Liga. And in terms of individual, I was the best scorer in the Champions League.
That's Cristiano Ronaldo speaking in Paris after winning his record-tying fifth Ballon d'Or trophy, given to the world's best football player. The prize was awarded by France Football Magazine at a ceremony held at the Eiffel Tower. During the festivities, the 32-year-old Portuguese star made the sign of five with his left hand as he held the trophy in his right. Ronaldo and his longtime rival Lionel Messi are now level with five Ballon d'Or awards each, a visible symbol of their past decade of dominance in international football. The 30-year-old Messi was second in the voting, and his former Barcelona teammate, the Brazilian Neymar, was third. Neymar left Barca in the offseason to join the French club Paris Saint-Germain for a record transfer fee of $262 million. From Paris, let's go to the Canadian city of Toronto, where the Major League Soccer Cup final will be played Saturday. It's a rematch of the 2016 MLS Cup final. Toronto FC will host the Seattle Sounders. Last year, the Sounders lifted the cup after beating Toronto in a penalty kick shootout that followed a scoreless draw. Now, Seattle star Clint Dempsey did not play in last year's MLS Cup final. He was sidelined by an irregular heartbeat, and there was speculation the medical condition could end his career. But Dempsey was eventually cleared to play for the 2017 MLS season. And after scoring 12 goals in 29 regular season appearances, Clint Dempsey was named MLS Comeback Player of the Year for 2017. Clint talks about not being on the field last year and what it means to play on Saturday.
It's tough not being on the field, being able to battle with the guys. But as the game went on, he started getting more nervous, see what's going to happen. Then he goes into penalty shootout. Before that, though, Steph with a great save. Yeah, team battled really hard, and they were able to see the game out in penalties, and yeah, happy. Was running on the field, celebrating with the guys, and happy we were able to bring a cup to Seattle, the great city that has a lot of support for the game. And yeah, happy to be back, playing again, and have an opportunity to battle in the game, so look forward to it.
We heard Clint Dempsey mention Steph with the great save. During extra time of the 2016 MLS Cup final, Seattle Swiss goalkeeper Stephen Fry made what some have called the greatest save in MLS history. Fry stopped a Jozy Altidore header with a full-stretch parry and later was named the MLS Cup 2016 Most Valuable Player. The 31-year-old Fry played five seasons with Toronto before moving to Seattle in 2014. He was asked what he expects from the Toronto fans on Saturday.
I expect their fans to want to win with their team, you know, just as much as I want to win with my team.
I realized I was very fortunate when I started my career here, and I was able to play right away, and the fans were always great to me, especially considering that way the results on the field weren't very good during my time with Toronto. But that's in the past. I was able to move on to Seattle and to resurrect my career, if you will, and I had good coaches around me, good teammates, an amazing city with fans that are nothing but positive. And I love being part of that organization, that group, that community. And as much as, like I said, it was a good time here, that's in the past. I wish the Toronto fans that I'm close with nothing but the best. But obviously in a game like this, I want Seattle to win. I'm sure they want Toronto to win.
I'm sure Toronto captain Michael Bradley wants to win on Saturday. Bradley talks about a few of Seattle's key players, and he begins with Clint Dempsey.
Clint enters into the equation in a big way in terms of his ability to make goals and set up goals, to turn plays that seem like nothing into danger. Obviously, Ladero is a guy we're going to have to collectively do a really good job on. His ability to float around the field and find space and find the ball is very good. Will Bruin has been a very important guy for them in this last stretch and has been in good form. And then we'll see how they complement those guys around them in terms of who's on the field and in what spots. But it's a very good team, and we'll have to collectively be at our best to make sure we can make things hard on them.
That's Michael Bradley, the captain of Toronto FC. Toronto will host the defending champion Seattle Sounders Saturday in the MLS Cup Final. Joining us now from Abuja, Nigeria, with a package of African football news is reporter Samson Omale. Good evening, Samson.
Good evening to you, Sonny. The Confederation of African Football Disciplinary Committee has fined South Africa's SuperSport United $15,000 for pitch invasion. Also fined for the same offense is the new CAF Confederation champion TP Mazembe of Congo, who are expected to pay $5,000. Both finalists, TP Mazembe and South Africa's SuperSport United, are set to appear before CAF after their fans invaded the pitch in the second leg of the Confederation Cup final played last weekend at the Lucas Moreira Stadium in South Africa. Staying with football news, the Egyptian Football Association have received a proposal to face Mexico in an international friendly in March as they prepare for the 2018 World Cup in Russia. The Pharaohs were drawn in Group A of the World Cup with host Russia, Uruguay and Saudi Arabia. Another World Cup-bound team, Nigeria, is set to play England in a World Cup warm-up game in June. And now to East Africa's biggest football competition, the CECAFA Senior Challenge Cup. Rwanda was knocked out of the competition with one game still to play in Group A against Tanzania on Saturday. In Group B, Burundi beat Ethiopia 4-1, while Zanzibar boosted their chances of qualifying to the semifinals when they rallied from a goal down to thump their main land rivals, Tanzania, 2-1. I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria.
Thanks, Samson. In the only match played Friday at the CECAFA Senior Challenge Cup football tournament, the defending champion Cranes of Uganda battered the Bright Stars of South Sudan 5-1 in Kenya's western town of Kakamega. Uganda and Burundi now lead the Group B standings at the CECAFA Senior Challenge Cup tournament with 4 points from 2 matches. Ethiopia has 3 points from 2 matches, and South Sudan has been eliminated after a 3-0 loss to Ethiopia in its first match. This 39th edition of the tournament is for teams that are members of CECAFA, the Council for East and Central Africa Football Associations. Libya and Zimbabwe were invited as guest teams for the competition, but Zimbabwe pulled out, citing security concerns. There will be semifinal matches on December 14th and December 15th, and the CECAFA Cup Senior Challenge Final is December 17th. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. One of our big sports stories this week was Russia being banned from the 2018 Winter Olympics in Pyeongchang, South Korea. Just ahead, VOA's Jim Stevenson will recap that story and give us some recent golf highlights.
The Olympics, competing for gold and national pride. But not Russia at the upcoming Winter Games in Pyeongchang, South Korea. The International Olympic Committee has banned Russia from competing as a country for a state-sponsored doping campaign during the 2014 Olympics in Sochi, Russia. IOC President Thomas Bach says Russian athletes may still take part.
Individual clean Russian athletes will be able to participate under strict conditions at the Olympic Winter Games Pyeongchang 2018.
They will have a special designation.
These invited athletes will participate, be it in individual or team competitions, under the name Olympic Athlete from Russia, with the acronym OAR.
While Russian athletes may compete, Russian sports officials may not attend. In addition to the 2018 ban for Russia's representation as a country, the IOC fined the Russian Olympic Committee $15 million and suspended its president, Alexander Zhukov, as an IOC member.
No official of the Russian Ministry of Sport will be accredited for the Olympic Winter Games Pyeongchang 2018. The then Minister of Sport, Mr. Vitaly Mutko, and his then Deputy Minister, Yuri Nagonik, will be excluded from any participation in all future Olympic Games.
Russia could refuse the offer to let its athletes compete without national identity or the playing of the Russian national anthem. But IOC President Thomas Bach said an Olympic boycott has never achieved anything. Russia has repeatedly denied it carried out a doping operation, but the IOC has already stripped Russia of 11 medals from the Sochi Olympics and banned more than 20 Russian athletes for life. American golfer Ricky Fowler won the Hero World Challenge in the Bahamas, but overshadowing his win was tournament host Tiger Woods, making his return to professional golf 10 months after fusion surgery on his lower back, his fourth back surgery in 3 years.
I didn't realize how bad my back was. Now that I'm feeling the way I'm feeling, it's just hard to imagine that I was living the way I was living, with my foot not working, my leg not working, and then the hours of not being able to sleep at all because of the pain.
But now Tiger says he feels great.
The neatest thing for me is to be able to get up out of bed and I can grab a club and not use it as a crutch. That's so exciting. I have no idea how exciting that is. I'm just so thankful that, you know, I've had this procedure and I've gotten to this point.
And he feels better being back in a competitive environment.
I miss playing golf for fun. Go out there and hit and giggle and play for some denominations and have a good time. I had done that in 2 years.
Tiger Woods' return also gives him the opportunity to show his two growing children some of the playing skills that made him the world's best golfer for many years.
I never thought, you know, my kids understood what I've been able to do in the game of golf, because as they always think, I'm the YouTube golfer. They've never seen me in action. I want them to see what I've been able to do in my entire career.
Woods finished 10 shots behind Fowler in the limited 18-player event, still testing his limits.
I don't know what my body can and can't do yet.
Can Tiger match up to past glory?
That's going
to
be hard. I mean, I was pretty good.
Playoffs decided two golf tournaments. At the Australian PGA Championship, surprise, two Australians went the distance as Cameron Smith prevailed on the second extra hole after tying Jordan Zunick at 18 under par 270 in regulation play.
Bit of a grind out there today, obviously waking up early to get away from this rain that mysteriously hasn't come.
Zunick was in contention after several disappointing events where he missed the mid-tournament cut. He had fun.
This is why we practice and this is why we dream to play these sort of events and play in front of huge crowds, and I loved every minute of it.
The win caps a good season for Smith.
It's been a really good year. My goals were this year to win one down here, and it's nice to take that one off.
16 under par was the score needed in Africa to reach the playoff at the Mauritius Open. South African Dylan Fratelli emerged the winner.
Really a good finish for me to finally win a playoff. It's been three on the European Tour, one on the Sunshine Tour that I've lost.
Fratelli is amazed he played so well after a grueling travel schedule.
5 weeks, we've been all over the place, Turkey, Dubai, Hong Kong, but I've got my trainer, Garth Milne. He's kept me fit, kept me strong. I've seen him a lot over the last 3-4 weeks, so I'm feeling good right now.
Feeling good. That's South African golfer Dylan Fratelli. the winner of the recent Mauritius Open. And thanks to VOA's Jim Stevenson for that spicy sports package. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Just ahead, VOA's Andrew Palcheski will have reaction to Cristiano Ronaldo winning another Ballon d'Or trophy, as well as other sports social media trends.
Music Time in Africa offers splendid sounds from the continent that all humanity calls home. From the classics of yesteryear to the hot tracks of the moment. I offer you what you need. Free ear therapy and mind massage. Join me. I'm Heather Maxwell for Music Time in Africa every Saturday and Sunday at 0900, 2000 and 2100 UTC.
Hi, I'm Francis Tiafo. You're listening to Sunny Side of Sports on Voice of America.
I encourage our VOA listeners to check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page. The address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. Once again, that address, facebook.com/VOA Sunny. You'll see photos and videos, and you can post your comments. So check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page.
Voice of America.
Our Voice of America listeners can also follow me on Twitter. My handle is at VOA Sunny Sports. If you check out my Facebook page today, Friday, you'll see a photo of a leaping Cristiano Ronaldo soaring high over defenders for a header, just as he soared high in Paris in winning his fifth Ballon d'Or trophy. And there's also a funny video at my Facebook page of a disguised Cristiano Ronaldo getting in his kicks in front of an unsuspecting audience in Madrid. Joining us once again on the show is Andrew Palcheski, the VOA's social media reporter. Sporty greetings and happy Friday, Andrew.
Happy Friday to you as well, Sonny. Good to be here.
Andrew, I think it's safe to say that Ronaldo was not in disguise in Paris.
No disguising his fifth Ballon d'Or, but there is a lot of discussing on social media about the award, and perhaps the biggest conversation point is that this fifth Ballon d'Or now ties Ronaldo with Lionel Messi. Messi fans had used the number of awards that he had collected as evidence of why he was better than Ronaldo. Well, now they can't make that point anymore because they're all tied up at five each.
Five to five.
And one person writing on social media in jest saying, Cristiano Ronaldo equals Leo Messi's five Ballon d'Ors. Say, anyone ever thought about debating who's better out of these two? A little bit tongue-in-cheek there, because of course that is exactly what fans are doing. They have been doing it for as long as these players have been on the field. And I think they're going to continue forever. I think this is a conversation that's going to go on forever. Ronaldo's fans say that this proves he's the best. Messi was leading with four awards to Ronaldo's one, but he's leveled it now at five all. Messi fans are calling foul, however, saying that Messi led many of the key stats this year, but still didn't get the award. They said that he should have earned it based, if you look at the stat sheet, Messi had a better year, according to them. Even Cristiano Ronaldo is weighing in. He had given an interview, and this quote is being shared across social media. He asked when he was asked about his rivalry with Messi, and he says, "I respect everyone's preferences, but I've never seen anyone better than me. I've always thought that. No footballer can do things I can. There's no player more complete than me. I play well with both feet. I'm quick, powerful, good with the head. I score goals. I make assists. There are guys that prefer Neymar or Messi, but I tell you, there is no one more complete than me." So a little bit of bravado there after winning
just,
that fifth.
Just a bit.
A little bit of ego showing off. But Ronaldo later took a more humble tone on social media. He tweeted out a picture where he's standing in front of the Eiffel Tower holding the award in one hand and putting up five fingers with the other. And he writes, another dream come true. Unbelievable feeling. Thanks to my family, friends, teammates, coaches, and everyone that stood by my side throughout the years. So a little more gratitude and humility in that social media post. Not so much in that interview, though. He just said, bar none, I am the best.
Ronaldo and Messi tied in terms of Ballon d'Or trophies at five each. One trophy that neither player has lifted is the World Cup trophy. And that could tip the balance, Andrew, should Portugal or Argentina lift the cup at Russia 2018.
Yeah, thankfully for the fans, both of those teams and both of the players will be there in Russia playing. So maybe we'll get an answer once and for all. Of course, that's only until the next World Cup when somebody else wins, or the next award or what have you. Like I said, this is a conversation that's going to continue on and on and on without end.
What else is trending on this Friday, Andrew?
Well, another big soccer story. After U.S. soccer president Sunil Gulati announced last week that he would not run for another term, a number of people have come forward to throw their hats into the ring, including some former U.S. men's national team players. But today we add another name to the list, and it is a big one and a unique one. Hope Solo, the former U.S. women's national team goalkeeper. Now, Hope Solo is only the second woman to enter the race after Kathy Carter, who is the president of Soccer United Marketing, which is the Major League Soccer's marketing arm. But she is, Hope Solo, the first female player to declare. She actually explained her decision in a Facebook post titled, "Why I'm Running for President of U.S. Soccer." And she says in that Facebook post that she's motivated by the opportunity to improve U.S. soccer in some key areas, Sonny, areas where she's been impacted directly, including things like developing and funding youth programs. She talks about in the post how when she was a child, her parents struggled to pay for the costs associated with the tournaments and the travel surrounding her young soccer career. She talks about equality and diversity. Of course, she was one of the leaders of the Equal Play, Equal Pay movement, calling for the U.S. women's national team to be paid the same as the men. And she talks about creating a winning culture for U.S. soccer, something she knows quite a lot about, two-time Olympic gold medalist and a Women's World Cup champion. Fan reaction to this is mixed on social media. Many fans are happy to see another woman running, and certainly someone representing the women's national team. Some questioning, though, whether Solo has the experience and the temperament to lead U.S. soccer. She's currently suspended from the U.S. women's national team because she called Sweden cowards after the U.S. lost to them in the 2016 Olympics. But I think this line best encapsulates it, Sonny. Somebody wrote, "You miss 100% of the shots you don't take." So she is taking a shot at it. We'll have to see in a couple months if she she does win that race.
Yeah, she is in some ways a polarizing figure in U.S. soccer. So can she gather the support necessary to win the election? I guess that's one of the key questions.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. Kathy Carter, the other woman in the race, is one of the front runners and has some support from Sunil Gulati. So she might be the woman to win that race instead of Hope Solo, but we'll have to wait and see.
And on the men's side, we have several former U.S. National team players. Eric Winalda, he is in the running, as well as a couple other former men's players. So it should be an interesting election, Andrew.
I think so. I think there's a lot of attention on this now. You know, Sunil Gulati has been in the job for 12 years, so it's really been kind of the stasis. And with the upheaval of men's soccer, I think that has put a lot of attention on this. And there's also a lot of social change and social conversation going on in the U.S. about sexual harassment, about equal pay, about a lot of these issues affecting women. And so Hope Solo, I think, is trying to use a lot of that cultural conversation to try to drive her candidacy. I don't know, like I said, if she'll be the one to do it. I think Kathy Carter has a much better shot. She has much better support and, frankly, I think better experience. But these are going to be two candidates definitely that a lot of people are going to be watching. I think this is the most attention we've seen on a U.S. soccer chief election in years. And so it's kind of exciting for the sport. Maybe it'll kickstart some of that change that needs to happen.
Andrew Palcheski, the VOA's social media reporter. Have a good weekend, Andrew.
Thanks, Sonny. You too.
And that wraps up the December 8th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Dan Crafton. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Have a nice weekend, everyone. And that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Corruption is an abuse of power at every level that impacts rich and poor countries alike, in both the private and public sectors. Corruption undermines development, erodes confidence in democratic institutions, and facilitates transnational crime, including organized crime and terrorism. It distorts markets, discourages investors, and stunts economic growth. And it is particularly destructive to communities in developing countries, where it blocks development and progress. That is why, 14 years ago, the United Nations General Assembly adopted the UN Convention Against Corruption. The UNCAC as a new global legal framework for preventing and combating corruption. Our frameworks, laws, and policies, and related international cooperation are undoubtedly better today compared to 2005. However, our job is not finished, said Acting Principal Deputy Assistant Secretary for International Narcotics and Law Enforcement Affairs, James Walsh, at the 7th Conference of States Parties to the UNCAC. The convention provides us a common basis to take all the necessary steps to prevent and combat corruption if we have enough political will and use the treaty effectively, said Mr. Walsh. Indeed, the United States is fully committed to supporting and implementing the UN Convention Against Corruption, both internationally and domestically. In 2016, the United States had a record year for enforcement of the Foreign Corrupt Practices Act against corporate defendants, to include final enforcement actions against 28 multinational companies, said Mr. Walsh. The United States also targets ill-gotten gains, working with our international partners and through the Department of Justice's Kleptocracy Asset Recovery Initiative. Since 2010, the United States has seized or frozen over $3 billion in corruption-related proceeds and so far has returned over $150 million of it. Another $30 million is in process. As we implement the UN Convention Against Corruption, we must also draw on all sectors of society to fight corruption, including civil society organizations and the private sector, said Mr. Walsh. Good faith efforts by the United States or any single country will never be enough. We all must work together to adopt and enforce international standards of integrity, accountability, and transparency.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Hello, this is Peter Clotty, host of Nightline Africa. Please join us every Saturday and Sunday at 16 and 18 hours UTC. Nightline Africa is VOA's Africa's weekend show that provides news, features, and entertainment news about Africa and the world. Tune in. You will be glad you did. I guarantee it.
Hello. This is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
VOA News. VOA.
When news breaks, VOA News is there. Around the clock, listen to VOA Newscast at the top of each hour, along with our detailed news programs and analysis.
We are online at voanews.com.
VOA, your trusted source of news and information.